Please turn again in your Bible to that portion of Scripture that Dr. Douglas read just a few moments ago, John's Gospel, chapter 3. While you're looking up the place, could I say it's a great privilege again to be with you. We have enjoyed the mission, and we believe the Lord has been with us night by night. And we do pray that as we begin this second week, that the tide will rise, and that the Lord will reach down and save precious, precious souls. My friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved by the grace of God, our prayer is that even this evening that you will come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And there's no greater blessing and there's no greater joy in this world than to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. I wonder, my friend, do you know that tonight? Are you sure of that this evening? If you were to die right now, in the seat that you're sitting in, would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? A very solemn question. But my friend, a question that you need to answer honestly within your own soul. And I pray that you will be honest tonight. And as the word of God goes forth, that the Lord will speak to you. And that he will draw you lovingly and eternally to the foot of the cross. I just want to read the first three verses again of John's Gospel, chapter 3, to you. Verses 1 to 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. We know the Lord will bless again the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. And let us seek the Lord. Child of God, you pray tonight that the Lord will come and speak to hearts. We believe that the Lord has been speaking, even in this meeting. Thus far, we have known the presence of the Lord. But, oh, child of God, you hold on to the horns of the altar just now and pray for the dear unsaved that is all around us in this meeting, sitting beside us, that the Lord will speak very personally to them. Just as the Lord Jesus spoke personally to Nicodemus, you pray that the Lord will speak personally to men and women tonight about their soul. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for your mercy. O God, it's a mercy that we're found again in the house of God this evening. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for your presence with us. And O God, we pray that as the word of God goes forth, that it might not go forth with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but, O God, we pray that it might go forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint us, therefore, with the blessed third person of the Holy Trinity. Lord, we need thee tonight. Hide us behind the cross. O God, that's our prayer. That's our desire, that none would be seen save Jesus only. And we pray, Lord, as we would preach the message that you've laid upon our hearts, Lord, that we might, Lord, preach as a dying man to dying men and women. We pray tonight, O God, that the fear of God might fall upon the sinner's heart. We pray, Lord, tonight, that men and women and young people who are still strangers to grace and to God might come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and bless us now. Come and minister unto us, we pray thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Very simply this evening, I want to draw your attention to a man in the Bible by the name of Nicodemus. A man that I'm sure that everyone in the meeting has heard of. Indeed, from our earliest Sunday school days, we have all heard about the religious man who came to Jesus by night. And what a wonderful and tremendous story that we have set before us in this portion of God's precious word. In John chapter 3, we read of one who comes to Christ in the darkness and goes away in the light. We read of one who comes to the Savior confused and bewildered, and yet goes away understanding the hidden things of God. Indeed, in this chapter, we have a man who comes to Christ lost, condemned, and on his way to hell. And yet, before the night is over, he goes away saved, redeemed, and on his way to heaven. We have indeed here in this portion of Scripture one, I believe, of the great conversions recorded in the Word of God. My friend, as I look around this congregation this evening, there are many that I don't know, but I know this. You may have come into this meeting in spiritual darkness. Praise God, you can leave this meeting understanding the gospel message and being saved by the grace of God. You may have come into this meeting lost and condemned and on your way to hell, but you can leave this service tonight saved and redeemed and on your way to heaven. And I pray that even tonight, although you may be in here for the first time, although you may be in here simply because someone has invited you, perhaps it's your intention never to come back again, I don't know. But I pray tonight that the Lord will take such a dealing with your heart that before this meeting is over, that you will have to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" My prayer for you this evening is that you will experience the new birth, regeneration, salvation. I pray tonight that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Therefore, I want you to listen very carefully to the message that the Lord has given me this evening. And I pray that if you're not saved, that you will pay attention to what we have to say this evening. Now, as we come to consider this individual tonight, Nicodemus, there's a number of things very simply that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, I want you to notice, and I do hope that you have the Bible open before you, I want you to notice the type of man that he was. Now, when I say the type of man that he was, I'm referring to the type of man that he was before he was converted, before he was saved, before he was born again of the Spirit of God. Now, my friend, that's very important, especially when you come to consider Nicodemus. Because as you study the life of Nicodemus, as it is recorded in the New Testament, you learn a number of things about this man before he was saved. First of all, you learn that he was a religious man. Look at verse 1. You'll read these words. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." We are told here very simply that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, who were the Pharisees? Well, the Pharisees were the so-called religious leaders at the time of Christ. They were the ones that read the scriptures in the synagogue. They were the ones that prayed openly in the synagogues. They were the so-called religious leaders at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will notice here that Nicodemus was no ordinary Pharisee, because the Bible tells us here that he was a ruler of the Jews. That simply indicates to us, I believe, that he was a member of the great Sanhedrin. Here we have an individual, and he was one who was full of religion. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the Old Testament law. He would have been familiar. He would have been familiar with the things of God. And yet, when we study Nicodemus, as he is revealed in the Bible, we learn this, that although he was a religious man, although he was a Pharisee, although he was a ruler of the Jews, he was an ignorant man as far as spiritual things were concerned. Now, this is brought out very clearly in this portion of Scripture. Look what it says in verse 4. It says this, "Nicodemus saith unto him," that was unto the Lord, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, in verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes to Nicodemus,
Ye must be born again. But as soon as the Lord Jesus began to speak about spiritual things, Nicodemus was ignorant concerning these spiritual things. Here was a religious man who could not even understand the ABC of the gospel. Indeed, after the Lord Jesus had explained to Nicodemus concerning the new birth and concerning regeneration, look what Nicodemus said over there in the verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? How can these things be? And the Lord Jesus Christ was so amazed that Nicodemus could not understand spiritual things that he said to the religious Pharisee, art thou a master in Israel? Look at verse 10. And knowest not these things. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was taken aback. Art thou a master in Israel? And knowest not these things. My friend, there's a very simple lesson there. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want you to listen to it. Especially if you are a religious man. Maybe you're one who has been brought up in the church. Maybe you're an elder in the church. Maybe you're in the select vestry. Maybe you are in the choir. I don't know, but you've been brought up in the house of God and you have been sent to church all the days of your life and yet you're not saved. My friend, it's possible to be religious and not saved. It's possible to be religious and not born again of the Spirit of God. It is possible to be religious and not even understand the ABC of the gospel. And that's where Nicodemus was. Here we have a religious man. This is the type of man he was before he was converted. He was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was in the Sanhedrin. But he was ignorant when it came to spiritual matters. Are you ignorant tonight as far as spiritual things are concerned? My friend, the sad reality is this, that as we are gathered together in this gospel meeting tonight, there are men and women in hell, and they're religious. They were religious when they walked upon this scene of time, but they're lost. And they're lost forever. And the reason why they're lost forever is because they knew nothing of the new birth. They knew nothing of saving grace in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something else about this man. The type of man that he was before he was converted. He was a seeking man. Take a look at verse 2. Underline it in your Bible. It says this. The same. This religious man, this ignorant man as far as spiritual things were concerned, this Pharisee, this ruler of the Jews, it says the same, came to Jesus by night. Why did he come to Jesus by night? Well, he wanted to talk about the miracles, there's no doubt about that. But I believe there was something deeper. I believe perhaps he had a concern deep down within his soul. His religion wasn't satisfying him completely. I believe that Nicodemus realized that there was something missing in his life. And he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would have the answer. Oh, my friend, you're religious tonight. You've been brought up in the church. You're not saved. And you know there's something missing in your life. The truth is, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, there is something missing in your life. My friend, I knew nothing about life. Until I met the Lord, until the Lord saved me by His grace. I knew absolutely nothing about life until I met the Lord Jesus, until He reached down and snatched me as a brand from the burning. But I can say tonight, like many others in this meeting, that the Lord Jesus has satisfied the very longing of our souls. We're on our way to heaven. We'll never be in hell. Someday we're going to see the King in all His glory. And that's the blessed hope of the child of God. And my friend, we're going to heaven tonight, those of us who are saved, not because there's anything good in us and not because we deserve it, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the place called Calvary. And the truth is, that you too can experience this salvation that satisfies the very longing of your soul. I wonder, have you got a concern
a concern for your soul. You know, the Bible tells us that each and every one of us have an immortal soul. An immortal soul that will live forever and forever and forever. And you have an immortal soul. And I have an immortal soul. And that soul will live throughout the countless ages of eternity. And it needs to be saved. It needs to be born again of the Spirit of the living God. Now we need to go on. I want you to notice, secondly here, not only the type of man that he was before he was saved, but I want you to notice, secondly, the tremendous message that he heard. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ met Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus had only one message for him. And that message was clear. Ye must be born again. That's the message that Jesus delivered to this religious man. My friend, that's the message that I want to deliver to you tonight. Ye must be born again. Now, I want you to notice a number of things about this tremendous message that the Lord Jesus delivered to Nicodemus. I want you to notice, first of all, that it was a solemn message. Take a look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that not a solemn message? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus there? He was telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you're not going to enter into heaven. Now, I have no doubt that perhaps Nicodemus thought that he was on his way to heaven. After all, he was a Pharisee. He was in the great Sanhedrin. He was a ruler of the Jews. If any man expected to get into heaven because of his good works, then it would have been this man. But the Lord Jesus Christ stopped him on his very tracks, and he told him there and then, Nicodemus, you're not going to heaven. And except you're born again, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ was actually telling him there? Nicodemus, you're on your way to hell. Because, friend, if you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. There's only two places. If you're not on your way to heaven, then you're on your way to the caverns of the damned. My, it was a solemn message. And the Lord Jesus hit Nicodemus with this solemn message right between the eyes. You'll notice something else about the message. You'll notice that it was an emphasized message. The Lord Jesus repeated three times to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. In verse 3, in verse 5, look at verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then take a look there at verse 7 as well. The Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus the third time, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. My friend, it's an emphasized message. And the Lord Jesus here repeats himself three times. You know, there are times when the gospel preacher must repeat himself. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. The old hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, ye must be born again or never enter heaven. 'Tis only blood-washed ones are there. They're ransomed and forgiven. Many years ago, there was an old preacher. And he would always stand on the street corner and he would preach in the open air. And he would always preach on this text, ye must be born again. And week by week, he would declare this text, ye must be born again. On one occasion, an ungodly man stopped. He had passed that way quite often and said to the old preacher, stopped him and says, listen, why do you keep on preaching in this message? Ye must be born again. Every week I'm passing here, and every week I hear this message, ye must be born again. And the old preacher just stopped and looked him straight in the eye. And he says, because ye must be born again. My friend, ye must be born again. But notice something else about the message. Not only was it a solemn message, and not only was it an emphasized message, but you'll notice that it was an explained message. The Lord Jesus Christ took the time to explain to Nicodemus what it meant to be born again. Look at verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh,
And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born again? To be born again means to be born from above. It means to be born of God. It means to be born of the Holy Spirit. When a person is born again, at that very moment of conversion, God's Holy Spirit enters into them and they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things pass away and all things become new. Being born again means to be born from above. Verse 5 says, except a man be born of water. The word water in the Bible is a symbol of the Word of God. Therefore, Christ is using the word water in verse 5. He's teaching Nicodemus the importance of being born again according to God's Word. And there's no doubt that when the sinner receives God's Word and is saved according to God's truth, there will be the cleansing of sin and the purifying of the soul. But then we read in verse 5, except a man be born of the Word and of the Spirit. Notice there how the Lord Jesus emphasizes the Word and the Spirit. Oh, my friend, let me ask you the question tonight. Are you born again? Are you born of God's Holy Spirit? Are you redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? Are you saved according to the Scriptures? Not according to your own notions. You know, we live in a land where many believe they're going to heaven on the basis of their own notions. On the basis of their own religion. But my friend, we don't get to heaven on the basis of our own notions or on the basis of our own religion. We get to heaven when we're born again of the Spirit of God and when we have been saved according to the Word of the living God. You say to me, preacher, I still don't understand what you mean by being born again. Well, I want you to stop for a moment and I want you to think of a natural birth. You know, there are two things that are characteristic of every natural birth. There's a specific day when a natural birth occurs. And then, when a natural birth takes place, the child is born with a specific nature. Now, I was born on the 26th of November 1962, just in a few weeks' time. I'll be 45. I know I don't look 45, but sometimes I feel 145. But that's when I was born. And the day I was born, on the 26th of November 1962, I was born with a specific nature. I was born with a sinful nature. And you know, friend, I've got a medical card, a birth certificate, whatever you call it, and all the details of my birth are on that, where I was born, in the cart and home in Portadown. The time that my mother gave birth to me. All the details are there. That's my birthday. I was born again on the 13th of September 1976. And on that date, I received God's nature, the new nature. That day I was born again of the Spirit of God. In other words, I have two birthdays. A friend, if I was to go down to you, you could produce a birth certificate. And you could tell me when you were born. And you would have the details on it. You were born in such and such a place at such and such a time. When were you born again? Where were you when you were born again? I can bring you to the very spot tonight and put it down in the Brownstown Road where I was saved. There's a car park there now. But I can remember the day I was saved. There was an old tent there that night. The Reverend Ken Elliott was the preacher. He was preaching God's word with power. The Lord came down and spoke to my heart. I realized I was a sinner. Realized I was on my way to hell. Realized that only Jesus Christ could save me. And that night, as I knelt at an old pew, I cried unto God for mercy. And He saved me. He saved me. Have you got two birthdays? That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, if we were to bring the Apostle Paul down from heaven and stand him in this pulpit tonight, he would testify to the day when the Lord saved him, that day on the Damascus Road. You know, friend, that day will never change for the Apostle Paul. Throughout the countless ages of eternity, he will always remember back to that day on the Damascus Road when the Lord saved him. It was the day of his second birth. If we could bring Lydia down from heaven, bring her into this pulpit tonight, she could testify. Testify to the day when she met the Lord. It was just outside the city of Philippi. It was a Sabbath day. It was in the place where prayer was wont to be made. And the Bible says, as Paul preached the gospel, that the Lord opened Lydia's heart and she received Christ. That will never change throughout the countless ages of eternity. Man will always be the same. Lydia will look back to that specific place, to that specific time when the Lord redeemed her. Listen, if we were to bring the Philippian jailer down from heaven tonight, stand him in this pulpit, he would testify. Testify to the place of conversion. Testify to the moment of conversion. When in that old prison house, when he drew his sword and he was going to kill himself, and all of a sudden Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then all of a sudden God the Holy Spirit took a dealing with him. And he ran over and he cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul had the joy there and then of leading him to Christ. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." My friend, it'll always be the same for the Philippian jailer. Look back to that day in that old prison house when the Lord saved him, when he was born again of the Spirit of God. We were to bring John Douglas up into this pulpit tonight. He could testify to a day in his life when he was born again. A specific time. Tom Martin could do the same. Now, when were you born again? Now, friend, I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm not asking you about the day you were confirmed. I'm asking you, when were you born again? When did God's Holy Spirit enter into you? When were you redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? The Lord Jesus is speaking to a religious man. Your religion's not enough, friend. It's not enough. If there was a man who could have gained heaven through his religion, Nicodemus was the man. But Jesus said, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." Now there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice not only the type of man that he was before conversion and the tremendous message that he heard, but I want you to notice in closing the transforming miracle which took place in his life. Did Nicodemus really get saved? That's the question. You see, it doesn't really tell us in this chapter that he did get saved. But he did. And I believe he got saved that night when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's something you need to understand about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, for a short time after he was converted, was a secret disciple. Now that simply means that he didn't tell anybody that he had become a Christian. Didn't tell anybody that he had met the Lord and was gloriously saved. Nicodemus is mentioned three times in the Bible, all in John's Gospel. John chapter 3, John chapter 7, and John chapter 19. In John chapter 3, I believe he meets Christ and he is gloriously saved. He's born again that night. In John chapter 7, he takes Christ's part, and you can take time to read the verse when you go home, it's verse 50. But it's really John's Gospel chapter 19 that I want you to turn over to. Just turn over to it for a moment. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture. But I believe it reveals to us that Nicodemus truly got saved that night when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've got to get the scene here. The Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified on the cross of Calvary. Just think of the scene. All the disciples have forsaken the Lord. Peter has denied the Lord. Thomas is doubting. It's a dangerous thing to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus at this point. He's just been crucified on the cross by the Roman authorities. But there's two men, and they go to take the body of the Lord Jesus down from the cross. I believe we could say they're putting their lives in danger, in one sense. But I want you to see how Nicodemus identifies himself with the Lord Jesus. He's a secret disciple. He hasn't stepped out for Christ at all as far as declaring himself to be a follower of the Lord. Maybe he's a little afraid. Maybe he's afraid of what those in the Sanhedrin would say and think of him. But he's going to step out now. He's going to step out now. Look at verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. It's the same man. It's the same Nicodemus. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Not wonderful? That portion of scripture, here we have the Nicodemus. And Joseph of Arimathea, he's taken the body of the Lord down from the cross. What's he doing? He's identifying himself with the crucified Christ. You know what he's doing, men and women? He's declaring to the world, I belong to him. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. That's what he's doing. You know why? Because he has experienced the new birth. He has been saved and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. My friend, are you saved tonight? Maybe you've got saved in this mission and you haven't told anybody yet. Maybe you're a secret disciple. Maybe you've got saved a few months back and you haven't told anybody yet. Listen, it's time to step out for Christ. It's time to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus, with the work of redemption, with the crucified Savior. It's time to identify yourself with the resurrected Lord. If you're not saved tonight, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not born again, you need to be. You need to come to Christ now. You need two birthdays. One's not enough. It's not enough, young person. Older person, one birthday is not enough. You need two. And you need this night to experience the new birth. And you can. You can experience the new birth. But you've got to come to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. That's what it says. He came to Jesus. And you've got to come. You've got to come as a sinner. You've got to throw your religious rags off you. And you've got to confess before the Lord that you've broken his law and trampled under his commandments. And you've got to cast yourself upon him. You've got to, by faith and in repentance, seek the Lord. My friend, would you do it tonight? Would you do it now? Right now, in this meeting. I pray that you will. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee that salvation's real, and we thank thee, Lord, for the day in many of our lives when you reached down and saved us. Oh God, we're so thankful tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've snatched us as brands from the burning. And Lord, many of us were walking down the religious side of the broad road, and others were walking down, Lord, the dirty, filthy, ungodly side of the broad road. And yet, Lord, we were all in the broad road. And yet, Lord, you plucked us as brands from the burning and you saved us. And Lord, I pray tonight for those in this meeting. Many have come to this mission this week, night by night, and they've listened intensely to the word of God. And they're still not saved, Lord. And oh God, our heart's desire and prayer to thee is that tonight they would be saved. And Lord, that you would draw them to Christ this evening. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder, is there someone here and you realize you haven't got the second birth? You're not sure whether you're saved. Maybe you know you're not, but maybe you're not sure. My friend, you need to make sure tonight. I wonder, will you come to the Savior? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're going to sing a couple of verses of a little hymn, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, not thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 2 says, just as I am and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I wonder, will you come tonight? As we sing these two verses, I want you to do something for me. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to put your hand up. I'll acknowledge it and you can take it down if you want to be saved tonight. And we'll pray with you at the end of the meeting. Now, putting up your hand will not save you. The night I was saved in a meeting like this, I put my hand up.
but it didn't save me, but it indicated to the preacher that I wanted to be saved, because there were questions I needed answers to, things I didn't understand. Friend, when I first went into a gospel meeting like this, I didn't know anything, very little about being born again. Maybe you're like that tonight. We want to help you as we sing this. Just put your hand up very quickly, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can take it down again, and then we'll pray for you at the end of the meeting.